episode number 7, Self-Care for Leaders with Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. Here we go, tribe.
This is the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids' worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids' ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, friends, to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm so glad you're joining in today. My name is Jason Noble. I'm your host, and I can't wait to dig into today's topic. I promise it's going to be life-changing and really bless you and encourage you. But first of all, I want to say thanks to our sponsor for today's podcast, this week's edition, Yancey Ministries. Yancey is one of my favorite worship leaders. She's doing incredible things in the area of kids worship and helping to disciple kids and really creating great Sunday morning and weekday kids events. Yancey Ministries exists to make Jesus loud. And they do that through songs, videos, books, curriculum, devotionals, training, mentoring, consulting, events, and family concerts. Hey, Yancey's also just released her first book, Sweet Sound, The Power of Discipling Kids and Worship. She's a friend to the show. She's a friend to Kidman Tribe. And I would encourage you, if you haven't read that book yet, go get it today. It is life-changing. To find out more about Yancey Ministries, you can go online to yanceyministries.com. We'll share with you more about Yancey here in just a moment. This week on the show, I have Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield from The Dad Whisperer and The ABBA Project. We're going to be talking about self-care for leaders and what that looks like, and then also how to effectively equip dads to be the best dad that they can be. As we look across the landscape in America, and especially in our churches, we see that when dads are the best that they can be, it transforms the whole family. Dr. Michelle is a licensed professional counselor, speaker, author, and radio host of The Dad Whisperer, which is now a podcast, and she lives in Arkansas. She's also one of my best friends, and I almost see her just like a sister. As the founder of the ABBA Project, a 9-month process group forum for dads with daughters from 13 to 30, Dr. Michelle is passionate about equipping and inspiring dads to dial into their daughters' hearts intentionally and consistently. Dads, I don't know about you, but it's almost like a foreign language speaking to our daughters' hearts. And I want to encourage you in that area, especially the dads that are listening and for the dads in our ministries. Dr. Michelle will be talking about the importance of self-care for leaders also and how we overcome burnout from this past season of ministry. God speaks through this podcast, and I promise you, you're not going to want to miss to hear what he's saying today. She'll also be talking about the importance of equipping fathers in our ministry. Dr. Michelle is one of my great friends, and I know you're going to be blessed and challenged by this edition of the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're going to jump in with Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield right after this.
I have a dream that one day every church leader will champion worship to happen and the disciples they are making. I knew that God had told me now was the time to write this book. It has been so incredible to see how he confirmed the writing process over and over. The testimonies I've received are saying what I believed would be possible for those that lean into this message. I want to help kids learn the rhythm of running to the Father in everything they go through. If we can begin teaching them that from the time they are young and give them practice through repetition over the weeks and years ahead, then I believe we will have a new generation of adults that understand the importance of their worship to God. One of the ways we taste and see that He is good is by experiencing His presence. Worship is a gateway to that presence. I want to leave kids wanting more of who He is and longing for time spent in the presence of our loving Heavenly Father.
Hello, Kidman Tribe. Welcome to this episode. I'm super excited to have my friend, Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield, on the line today, talking to us. She is an incredible friend. She's actually, I consider her a sister.
I know, you're my little brother.
Exactly. And what I love about Michelle, Dr. Michelle, is she brings such a great perspective of what we're all about is helping Kidman leaders, pastors, volunteers, people who are serving on the front lines of children's ministry, helping them, equipping them, encouraging them, resourcing them to make their Sunday experiences better. And when I thought of Dr. Michelle, I thought of people that are on the front lines that have been serving in kids ministry, and kind of like this whole idea of self-care, what we need to be paying attention to. You know, Dr. Michelle, our children's ministry leaders and people are some of the least ministered to people in the church. Let's just be honest. They're the ones that are back in kids' church, or the back in nursery. They're the ones that are on the front lines raising up this generation. And so today I'm very excited to have you on to talk. Dr. Michelle is a counselor. She has a great project called the ABBA Project. She is an expert at helping dads and their daughters. And so tell us a little bit about your background and let us know more about you.
Sure. Well, first of all, I am a pastor's kid. I'm a PK. So you talk about being in children's ministry. I think we hardly know a pastor or a family of a pastor who isn't quote unquote shoved into right. children's ministry in some sort of another.
That's true.
But so anyway, so really, but truth be told, ministry has always been a part of my heart. I said yes to Jesus when I was six. So it was because of a children's ministry volunteer in San Rafael, California, that on Easter Sunday with my best friend, Jill Pauly, I raised my hand. And it, you know what? I literally never thought of that, Jason, until this minute.
Wow.
If it wasn't for a volunteer in children's ministry on a Sunday morning, I would maybe have a different story, or it would have been delayed. But it was the children's church. I got a little green book. Mrs. Greenlee wrote in the book, March 26, 1967, that I said yes to Jesus. Wow. I wish I still had that little book, but I had it for years. So well done, children's leaders. You may never hear the story like I'm telling, because I bet Mrs. Greenlee doesn't even know that my life was changed because of her.
Wow.
I wish I could find her and tell her that.
You bring up a very interesting point, and I'm going to let you get back to it. But you know, you may not ever remember a lesson that she did with you, but you remember her name. And you remember that book and the life change that happened because of her. And so leaders, you know, your kids may not ever remember the lesson that you teach, but the life lesson you're teaching is by how you live and how you love them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she wrote her name in a book. I don't know if, honestly, I would have remembered it. But again, that's where I really believe there are jewels in the crowns of all of us who minister and do it for Jesus, right? Not for maybe the accolades. And yet it is a hard, kind of lonely job sometimes where you're just faithful in the trenches week after week or month after month. And so I applaud you. I salute you. So actually, and then a little bit about me, I'm a pastor's daughter. So oldest
PKs
of four. Woo-hoo, PKs. And my dad was a Baptist pastor, conservative. So yes, lots of rigidity and rules in my house that I've broken away from now, not rebelliously, but I would say in freedom. And, you know, been to Bible college, then my stuff, if you will, started to surface in my 20s. And here I'm a Bible college grad and love the word of God. And yet all my stuff felt like it didn't necessarily overlap with, we don't hear that phone ringing.
Yes,
we're
keep
ready.
Going.
Let's hear for being adaptable, flexible.
Exactly.
Is that not a huge trait of kid ministry leaders? That's what you got to have, right? Your kids are doing everything in the middle of talking and you just keep going.
I'm doing.
Keep going. So anyway, it was in my 20s after Bible college, all my stuff started coming up, you know, all my things that didn't make sense about myself, from extreme fears, debilitating fears that, you know, kept me from doing a lot of things just due to internal stuff here that I didn't know what to do with. And I didn't know how to take the Bible college information about the word and transfer it over here. And so thankfully a counselor said, I'll take you on.
Wow.
8 years later, lots of layers of trauma, lots of PTSD, complex PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder in my life. Pretty horrific abuse, sexual mostly, but some other kinds of spiritual abuse and emotional abuse and generational crap up the freaking wazoo.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think if any of us told the story of our brokenness, we almost wouldn't believe it. But I see that as the living proof of what happens. This is not a pat answer, Bible college answer. This is a lived out in the trenches. It robbed a lot of my 30s, was having a counselor that said, where's Jesus in the story? And I used to believe he wasn't there.
Wow.
The robe of righteousness on me after, you know, I got through it. And I'll, again, talking about someone who faithfully, a counselor in her home, which is now what I do, this is my counseling office here, is literally, it was someone, a single woman who'd been a missionary, one after one, she'd see clients in her living room is where I did a lot of the work.
Wow.
No one was applauding her.
No.
But she changed my life by entering in with me and asking me over and over, where's Jesus in the story? Nope, can't see him, can't see him, can't see him.
Wow.
I know who he is. I know who he is in the word, but I don't know who he is, you know?
Yep.
And one day, it was just like any other day, just the blinders came off and I got to see Jesus with tears coming down his cheeks for me. He couldn't stop the evil because we all have free will, but he began to meet me in a different way. And that's really where I would say so much of my life changed was there in my early 30s through processing the trauma, seeing Jesus for real. And so now I've been a counselor. That's kind of a really fast forward from my trauma to now being a trauma-informed therapist. 27 years as a counselor.
Wow.
Still been a lay minister in my church, you know, led worship as a primary worship leader in my church in Oregon for about 7 years, and been a pianist for 100 Voice Choir there back in the day when that was a thing. But music ministry and art have always been things I've loved. And so I love bringing that into the work that I do. Sometimes I sing to clients. I'm sure you all do that in your classes, and nobody cares what you sound like. They just care that you bring an authentic heart and a love for Jesus. And so really that's what I'm about. And then the last 12 years, again, about the word of God. If anybody misses anything today, it's just remember in your role, give them the word, let them feed on the word, and let your life be the only Bible they ever read sometimes. Like Mrs. Greenlee, you know, I got to see her. She's faithful showing up. You may not remember everything else we talk about today, but just remembering that as you show up and are a living example of Christ in your life, right? It talks. And so anyway, the last 12 years reading in Luke 1, how God told Zechariah, his son, who wasn't even born yet, John, would help turn the hearts of fathers. So look at that lesson. Wow. It wasn't the dad getting the download. It was the next generation is going to be doing something and you're going to help facilitate that. Isn't that all tying to children's ministry?
Yes.
And I read Luke 1:17 about the hearts, not the heads of fathers turning to their children. I'm like, I heard God say, Michelle, that's what I want you to do. Okay, you guys, I was 49 and single, never been married. Like, fathers? Nope. I think you got the wrong girl. How many of us would disqualify ourselves from the assignment as a parent, as a leader, as a ministry leader? Yeah. And yet God is right full of imperfect stories of imperfect people with a perfect God showing up in their lives in the word. And so for the last 12 years, I have been leading fathers of daughters to engage their hearts. And so that was kind of a really long intro, but
what happened? What happened about a year and a half ago?
Oh yeah. The big news. I said I was single at 49 and I got married for the first time, June of 20, in the middle of COVID. That's at amazing. The age of 60, first time to a widower who had written the foreword to my first book in 14. He founded the National Center for Fathering. We've been colleagues, and I knew his wife, and she died in 19. And then in 20, God gave both of us a download. That's another story for another day, and told us to marry each other. We never dated, held hands, kissed, nothing. And he proposed, and I said, yes, over the phone. And he has an Android, so I couldn't even see the guy. We got married on Father's Day weekend of 20. So yes, I'm actually a new bride and moved from Oregon to Arkansas almost 6 months ago.
Wow, that's a big change. You know, I mean, just the fact that he's Android, that might do it for me. You know, I mean, only Apple on this side of things.
Come on. I'm the same. So I inherited a tribe of 24. So you talk about the next generation, because I just had a bunch of them here this weekend, all the way from 1.5 up to 16.
So you went from having
their step.
No kids.
All the grandkids.
Grandkids. And like, I mean, just what a.
Yeah, 14 grandkids now. So it's just a crazy story. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, though. There's so much beauty in it, but oh my goodness, Jason, transition is not easy. I mean, we're talking today about self-care. Yes. And when any of us are kind of dual tracking, we're in the trenches, giving out, serving, loving our families or others in the church or in lay ministries, simultaneously with our family, and then we're given to them. And sometimes there's not a lot left over for us.
Right.
And that's a little bit where I've been at the last 6 months through this transition of moving and you know, kind of acclimating to a new culture. And, you know, there's even grieving going on in these kids and grandkids, from a nana and a mother they loved to just me. And okay, Jason, I'm hardly letting you even ask me any questions, but I've got a short story. So I've been kind of disappointed in myself that my faith, I mean, I have a solid faith, but I have faltered. Like, this has been so hard to leave everyone I know and love. And, and it just has so many layers to adjusting, and, you know, different ones of the family or different places of grief, and trying to acclimate here and adjust and be sensitive and the adult. Okay.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness, you know, Jesus has met me in profound ways, but I've had dark days too, where I've gone, I don't think I can do this. I don't know where to move to, but I don't think I can stay here. And then I go, oh yeah, I don't get a choice. I'm sort of stuck here.
Right.
But in January, Ken and I went to this place called Mount Magazine in Southern Arkansas, the highest point in Arkansas, with a big lodge. Spent 4 days. So first day we split up for 4 hours and both just spent time with the Lord. Cause I said, I can't come down this mountain the same. Yeah. If I don't get a word from God, I can't do this. I'm so dry. This is a desert wilderness on the inside of me.
Yeah.
And I was reading in Genesis 16 through 24 at the time. It just was my chronological Bible reading. And I'm reading, and God gives me 12 directives out of that passage of how I'm going to survive. The first one was follow Ken's lead. It was about Lot's wife. It says in the New Living, followed behind him and then looked back, right? Pillar. So he's like, follow Ken's lead. I've made him like Eric Little run fast. When he runs, he feels my pleasure. Go fast with him. And I'm like, I like predictable and plan. And I feel okay. And then second thing, he's like, don't look back. You keep comparing to Oregon. He's like, you know, on and on. Then he's like, Abraham's servant goes to get Rebecca. I never liked Rebecca, conniving, manipulative woman. But she, when she was asked by Abraham's servant, do you want to go with me? Because her brother and dad said, oh no, we got to have a time of letting her go.
Yeah.
But she just said, yes, I will go. And he's like, there you go. There's your directive. So he gave me all these downloads. And the last day I was journaling in my, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but if you've never tried this, I would encourage you. I keep saying, if there's nothing else you remember, this is actually my take home.
All right.
Sit with your pen and your journal and just start letting God write, let Jesus write through your pen.
Yeah.
Or the Father or Holy Spirit, whichever one. I mean, they're all three connected, whichever one you want to acknowledge, your package deal.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Whoever's speaking to you at that point, definitely.
Yeah, you just let your pen flow without filtering. Whatever comes. Now, I have some people go, how do I know that's really God speaking? Threefold way. I always say it comes fast. It's not what I was just thinking. And it lines up with the word of God. That's my threefold way of going, this just in. Because usually then I'm contemplating, that's me. It's just bing, bing. So I let Jesus write through my pen. And here's what he said. And Abba did on that Sunday. Michelle, it's not about you anymore.
Wow.
I brought you here. These are kids and grandkids that need you.
Wow.
And he said, like, basically, it was like a SWAT. I told Ken, I got a spanking from the Father. And he's like, no, that wasn't. I go, oh, no, it was. It was enough crybaby in a loving, disciplines those he loves kind of way.
Right.
And I came down from that mountain. And we stopped at a little restaurant that had a mini mart on this side and a diner on this side with stuffed cougars, bear heads. I'm in Arkansas. Okay.
Right.
On the wall where you eat.
Right.
Okay. Oregonians would die over this. But anyway.
Vegan in Oregon.
No, not in Oregon. But here in Arkansas. And there's this lady named Peggy sitting at one of the tables. There's like three tables full. She's got a pink shirt that says, never, I got to show you a picture. Picture's worth 1,000, man. It says, never underestimate an old woman who rides a horse. And Peggy comes over and she shares a little bit of herself with us. She pulls up a chair, sits down. She goes, you got to get the fried pickles. They're the best here. She goes, I live two driveways over. So you can just come on over. Next time you're here, they'll just call me. I'll come right over. Ken meets her dog out in the you know, the parking lot. I mean, it was like quite the family event.
Wow. Well, hey, welcome.
There's Peggy.
Oh, that's great.
There's me and Peggy. You can see the stuffed animals on the back, but here's why I'm telling you about Peggy, you guys. Maybe this is a word you need today in a dry season like where I have been. Is I sit, and she comes up, you know, she's sitting right there with her hands on her knees, just, so what are you guys doing here? And we're like, I'm telling her the story, and I've inherited a tribe of 24, and Nana, she set the bar high as a grandmother. And she's like, well, you don't have to be Nana. You just have to be you. Wow. Okay, here, start coming down my cheeks, Jason. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then as she heard the story, and I said, thank you. Like, that's going in. And then she heard the story, and she just looked at me and she goes, it don't get no better.
Hmm.
Like, what? That is not the way I looked at it. Here's this woman in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas, two driveways over with a horse and living in her single wide. Doesn't even have stuff of the world, that literally was like a prophet to me going, it's a little better. And I'm saying, you guys, wherever you're at right now, because we're talking about self-care too. How do we as leaders take care of ourselves? Sometimes it's breaking out of the rut like we did, paying money we didn't have for a lodge there with a hot tub in the room, you know, to get away from the Lord.
I mean, you know.
Come on, you know. And yeah, prices in Arkansas are less than Oregon. I'm going to say that.
Right.
It's getting somewhere away. Like, take a break. I would say, if you don't take a break, you're going to break.
Yep.
And I was about at that point. And I had to get the oxygen mask on as the adult from Jesus and Abba and Holy Spirit and go, you got to write to me because I know you're here. I just don't feel you here.
Right.
And literally, I came down from that mountain different than I went up. And I would pray for any of you today. Go find a mountain place, get away, get alone. It might be your car in the middle of a driveway at Target. Okay, that's okay. Just somewhere quiet where you're shielded from all that and go, I got to hear from you, Lord. Remember, it comes fast. It's not what you were just thinking. And it always lines up with the word of God. Let God speak to you, because I didn't learn how to listen to God's voice in Bible college. Mm-hmm. I didn't learn that growing up as a pastor's kid.
Yeah.
I had to learn that in the trenches of dealing with my stuff. So
will you talk to us about that for just a moment? Because I think that's a really important perspective. How do you, there's leaders in the trenches that have this tremendous brokenness that they've just, you know, and the church doesn't deal with it well. For the most part, if you're broken, it's hidden. And I believe there's some leaders listening today. You're in the trenches, you're broken, and you resonated with what Dr. Michelle said. That when she was in her 30s, speak to us about that. How does that, how do you, while you're in the trenches, because I don't think the assignment changes, just like where you're feeling broken and you're feeling dry, that assignment is still to the 24 kids, grandkids, and people in your life now. I think there's leaders that are listening. Their assignment's not going to change, but Jesus desperately wants to get you healed up and healed from the brokenness. It's a process, but speak to us about that.
Well, you know, I think it starts with admitting that it's there. I think we're all really good at masking up. I mean, I think about one time where I spoke to 700 women a few years ago at my church and handed out masks. And I said, right on the outside, what you give off or what everybody thinks. So I'm putting confident, effervescent, you know, energetic, outgoing. But on the backside, I said, write what no one sees. I've got insecurity up the wazoo. Mm. I mean, people wouldn't think that, but I have self-doubt, self-criticism. Oh my gosh. I'm an Enneagram one. I love perfectionism and it drives me batty at the same time. Like, but I'm writing all that on the back and then had everyone come up and put it at the cross and take a crown instead, like going, okay, but it has to start with admitting the brokenness. And I know we're at a different place in our culture now than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And you add in COVID.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that's, it's so interesting, Jason, you and I talked about how we knew Holy Spirit would lead our conversation, but
yes,
you know, I planned today to talk about anxiety because, you know, you were asking ahead of time, like what's one of the major mental health issues? Well, it's anxiety across the board. I mean, literally, I came prepared today with research and, you know, I've got these things I could tell you about studies that I printed off to tell you, you know, one that just came out, 29% increase in youth anxiety just between 16 and 20 in 5 years, a 29% increase. And what I'm saying is I think these are underreported.
Oh, I mean, yes.
That's in the Journal of the American Medical Association Pediatrics. And I'm thinking that the CDC also has reports saying anxiety number one thing in girls.
Wow.
I mean, young girls.
And suicide rates? The suicide rates in the New Yorker, they just said the largest suicide rates are between, I think, like 9 and 16 years old right now.
Yeah. In the US. And that's what I have clients that I'm mostly doing telehealth now. Just had one where a gal I finished up with her, a 16-year-old last summer, going, now my boyfriend is suicidal and his parents don't get it. What do I do? And that's where as ministry leaders, sometimes you're the ones trusted with those stories, not the parents.
Right.
And so when you're talking about the brokenness there, I think kids are leading the way because they're falling apart and they don't have enough of a defense system built up yet, like we do as adults, to go, Lord's good, isn't he? All the time.
Well, you know? Do we though? Because I kind of wonder. I'm wondering, like, maybe the adults in the room, maybe we don't have our defense built up as much as we need to also. You know, I mean, it's interesting when you think about what COVID did. Usually as high functioning, like the high Enneagram, like what you had mentioned, personality wise, we don't.
Yeah, this stuff. Yeah.
We don't stop, right? I mean, it's like we go, 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 go. What this last season has done in COVID has forced us to stop and has forced us to look at ourselves.
Absolutely.
And
we're all falling apart in a different way.
That is a scary moment for some of the leaders and people that are even on this podcast today. You've been forced to look at yourself and you find yourself broken and lost and you're leading ministry and you're supposed to be the one with the answers. And I think Jesus wants to heal you today.
Without a doubt. And Jason, you and I have had the privilege of coming alongside other people for some really powerful healing prayer times of just bringing the broken pieces to the Father. I love John 6:12 when Jesus healed the 5,000. It's literally one of my favorite verses.
Yeah.
Jesus actually said, gather all the pieces that are left over or the broken pieces. Let nothing be wasted.
Wow.
But see, you got to start by admitting the brokenness is there. And what I mean about the defenses that kids have is I think as adults, we're not doing okay. But I guess the question I would ask is, who knows that you're not doing okay? Is the defense there enough that you've learned to fake it till you can make it?
Yep.
Because that's the model I grew up with.
Yep.
You always showed up. You never stayed home. You never said you weren't okay. And then look at what we're seeing literally in the last 6 months in terms of Hillsong, some of these major church leaders where they're imploding. I've been listening to the Mars Hill podcast series about the rise and fall. I mean, what happened inside of the system? And again, I'm not trying to throw stones and you aren't either. But I think the thing we're both saying is, where do you start? You have to admit brokenness. I mean, even on Sunday, I'm talking just this week, past weekend, through tears, I opened up with one of our son-in-laws and said, I haven't really told you this, but I've not been doing okay for a lot of the times. I rally and then I fall and I rally and I fall. And you know what he said? This is a guy who's an attorney. He's a licensed professional counselor. He's got all the degrees, 3 kids, married. You know what he said? Thanks for the vulnerability.
Yeah. Yes.
That's really good. And so I don't know why I didn't think I could tell them. I think I'm like, I'm still figuring out how to be in this role as a.
And don't we have the perspective like, hey, I'm the leader. I should I'm the one that needs to have it together to be the meemaw and the,
I mean,
and there's times where I think we just have to admit it's okay to not be okay.
And it isn't okay everywhere though. There's sometimes where you do admit that, and maybe you are asked to leave your position in a church because it doesn't fit the paradigm. And I hate to say this, and this might be too blunt, but I would say good riddance, like move on.
Yes.
If that's a church that says, well, then you're not welcome here. I literally just heard a story of that last Thursday from a couple who are in their 60s that went back and told the story of some things. And I just go, you were asked to leave the church?
Wow.
Yep. And so, you know, sadly,
it's messy.
Messy. We're not over exaggerating that not everywhere is okay with that, but find your people.
Yes.
Jason and I are your people.
Yes.
Because Jason and I have cried together. We have prayed together. We have prophesied together. We've read the word together. He has prayed over me. I've done it with him. And you have been a safe person for me to get real with. So I'm saying, you guys, you have a man leading at the helm of Kidman Podcast saying, come on, people, let's take the mask off. And you know what? You can actually breathe better.
Oh, man, right?
It's a lot less suffocating.
Exactly. I mean, just last night, and this will kind of give you the time frame of this podcast, all of the judge made a ruling in Florida to take the masks off of all the airplanes and the airports. We are all jumping for joy. Get those masks off. I mean, the masks, and I'm not talking about COVID.
Literally and figuratively.
I'm talking literally, like, get your mask off that you're hiding behind. And, you know, it's interesting. I've seen this happen when people are in their 30s, that God puts them face to face with their brokenness. And there's something about that 30s, that decade of the 30s, that God is doing stuff in people's lives to set them up for the next season. And
that is the next generation for me, because I'm 62 now. Well, in a couple weeks. Yeah. And you think about brokenness, like, if I showed you the windows right now in my office, you would go, okay, whatever, you know, they're clear, plain. But if I had a stained glass window with all the broken pieces that came together, you would be in awe.
And you would be a tapestry of miracles.
Yeah. So it's, brokenness is beautiful. And God himself, right, says, let's gather up all those pieces. Watch what I can do. And so I would say to somebody who's dealing with their own brokenness, you got to admit that you are. Yep. You got to find someone else you can tell that to. Right. Because I think what we do is we defend our hearts, we defend the pain, and then it funnels out over here through, at least this is what I grew up with, was kind of over ministering. You know, they say 20% do 80% of the work. I was always in the 20. And so, you know, I think we can run to ministry and over commitment and busyness or addictions. And mine, again, I'm keeping it real. If I'm going to talk about it, I better live it. You know, I've had an eating disorder. I live with anxiety a lot of my life. You know, those kinds of things were real easy for me to hide behind. You know, I gained about 50 pounds in my 30s. That was when I finally, because that was through my 20s, and my 30s is when I fell apart. Yep. Age 30, it all started falling apart. But I look now and say, that's how the Jesus that was here got here. I wouldn't trade those years. They sucked, I'm going to be honest, at the time, because it felt like, you know, everybody else was getting married. Everybody else was moving forward. You know, that whole stupid lie we believe?
Yes.
Because remember, the lies get embedded in the wound. So when we're hurting, all those lies, I mean, Satan's called the father of what?
Lies. I love what you just said. The lies get embedded into the wounds.
Yeah, that's where they stick. Kind of like when you got an owie and it sticks to your clothes. And then the lies, the father of lies. Like, I would have thought he would have been called like the father of darkness, the father of sin, father of evil. He was called the father of lies. He has a specialization, PhD in that. And he's called a father. Jesus called him a father, right? John 8:44. Not the CEO of lies, the instigator of lies, the planter of lies, the father, meaning he's a counterfeit father. Yep. So at the end of the day, he's like, I don't want you connecting with your real father who tells you who you are and whose you are. And I'm going to be honest. I'm in a season right now where a lot of the mantle, if you will, or foundation, I don't know what, foundation mantle, whatever, it's all kind of fallen off me. Like, I just feel like I've been one big mess. Like, Jason, are you sure you want to interview me? I thought my foundation was stronger. But you know what I can tell you, and this is maybe the growth of being old now, I color these grays, is I would look 80 if I didn't. But I don't have shame over it anymore. Right. I just am sitting in this and going, God, if you don't restore these years, the locusts have eaten, I got nothing, which means he puts a sign on our lawn that says restored by God, which means people will look and go, you're kidding. There was devastation there once. And then you get to tell the story. You get to tell his story as part of your history, right?
Yes. Amen. Well, and I'm just going to speak, because I think it's really important. I don't think the mantle is falling off. I think God's building the foundation to go even higher. You're in this moment where that foundation never stops growing. It should never stop growing. And I think that's even for leaders, when you think, man, I've got it all. I'm good and everything's good. And then God puts you into a season of growth again to say, okay, I want to take care of it, but I also want to make sure that foundation is stronger because I'm bringing you more. You know, I mean, and so I would say that to all of the leaders here, that God might be taking you through a season where it feels like he's maybe taking you apart, but he'll put you back together again. And that will be stronger than what you ever saw for the foundation God's putting on your life. And
absolutely.
I think that's the season that God might have you in, and probably a lot of leaders in, you know, I mean, where it's like, okay, like, and I think there's a lot of people that can identify right with where you're at today. And
because where we've been, you know, again, over 2 years ago, a lot of ministry leaders have had to throw out, so to speak, that model. So I guess when I say mantle, that may not be the right word, because maybe it's just covering. Like, I've been used to a certain sweater. I've been used to a certain coat. And now it doesn't fit anymore. It's out of date. It's out of style. You know, and I'm like, and so it's not maybe a mantle of anointing. I don't mean that.
Maybe it's a new territory.
But kind of, a protective covering. Like, wait, I like that coat. But don't we do that with style? We're like, that's really not in anymore. That line's got to go. And we're like, but I loved it.
Right.
Keyword past tense. And so I think right now, God is shaking our foundation.
Yep.
And every one of us has a story. So I guess I would say, how many people, I'm asking you guys, how many of you have told one, two, or three people really how lonely you are? Really how isolated you feel? Really what you're doing to cope? I mean, I have a friend of mine that every Sunday night, that was when their church met, because they used a building that they got the Sunday night. And for years, he began to just have one drink, you know, and then just because he would be so self-critical after his sermons, and then two and then three. And then read one day about it. Like, again, you'd read it before, but it popped out from the Spirit that day that even when Jesus was offered wine, vinegar on the cross, he said no.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm accepting the wine to numb this. I've got to start saying no and just feel all the feels. So it wasn't shame about alcohol. It was diving in deeper to where the distress was that he was numbing.
Yeah.
And I heard him 2 months after that going, okay, I'm talking about it. And he goes, I can feel it in the room. You're all like, okay, you're not far enough out of this to be talking about it yet. He goes, aren't you judging me right now?
Right.
You guys, that might be you, that you're comfortably numbing the pain. Well, let's be real. We all know that just delays the process, just like physical injury.
It does.
I say, whatever vice you have, maybe that's the word you need today. Set it aside. Like, give yourself a week, 2 weeks, a month to say, I'm going to set that down and come broken and raw and authentic. And I'm going to feel all this mess. Watch what happens. God's word, I think, becomes more real. Or maybe you're going to be like me in a season of my hardest stuff in my 30s. I couldn't even concentrate enough to read the word. Because what happens is midbrain, where we have emotional centers, what happens is it floods your prefrontal cortex. This is where we have judgment, reasoning, clarity of thought, so to speak, in this part of our brain. I couldn't focus very well.
Wow.
But I would turn music on. And I still remember there was a group called Truth back in the day. And there was this one song that just goes, gentle hands holding on to me, gentle hands guiding me so carefully. Though they lead me down through paths I don't always understand, I will never fear, for I'm in gentle hands.
Oh,
and I still remember that song to this day. I don't remember the rest of it, but I would weep over that, going over and over. I would go, this doesn't feel like your hands are gentle. This is so awful.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
But God came in. And my life radically changed after that. I believe the ministry, the calling, the anointing, like you said, Jason, it did build a different foundation.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade it for the world. And maybe you're listening today and you need a season off of ministry.
Yeah.
Come on. Be brave enough to walk away from what's familiar, from that paycheck that you know. Come on. Yep. In the Valley of Achor, the door of hope is going to be there.
Amen.
But you've got to be willing to go through that door and say, you know, I've been sensing God's wanted me to go in a different direction. I'm saying, let go, surrender. You won't regret it in the end. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, it is. And I think the challenge with any of that is sometimes we build our identity into our ministry. And if we don't have our ministry, then we don't know who we are. And so I think that's a big piece to this, is finding out who you are in Christ, you know, the brokenness, the like, hey, ministry could be gone tomorrow and you could still be very solid. And, you know, I think in that perspective, that's what God wants to do. Man, so good. Talk to us a little bit.
Wait. I want to say one more thing.
Yeah, go for it.
If you're listening and you're like me, where you're flooded, I had to listen to music because it would somehow go into my spirit. But maybe something else you can do, because I'm all about, let's get practical action steps to people listening. If you're not a journaler, and I'm saying, admit you've got brokenness and you don't know where to go, start writing it out. And I'll have men and women clients go, somebody might find it. I don't want to write. Come on, get over that. Yes. No, just get it out. Start writing it out. There's maybe an idea for you.
I love it.
Some action step. Take an action step after listening today. One thing.
Just one step.
One thing away and do one thing. The other idea I'll give you, this is more right brain. The left brain is logical, linear, language oriented. The right brain is more kind of nonlinear, abstract. It doesn't go in a straight line. Is maybe if you don't know where you're at, you don't know how to put words to it, go get some magazines and anything that jumps off the page at you, a word, a picture, an animal, a food, cut it out and put it all on one page. And it just gives you a way to kind of look at patterns on there, words that you see repeated, but let your right brain be a window into your inner world. If you don't know how to go left, go right.
That's good. That's good. Hey, so we've got probably about 5 minutes left. Tell us about your ministry to dads. I know that's going to be quick. I feel like I probably need to have you on again to talk about the importance of dads and the ABBA project, but talk to us about that. Like, what's God been doing in that realm? Speak to us about that.
Sure. Yes. So in January of 10, I started meeting with dad 12 every year. We go 9 months at a time now. And I help dads decode their daughter.
Oh,
I help
dads,
intentionally and consistently pursue the hearts of their daughters. And then they're a band of brother and they call me their token female. So I now have the Dad Whisper podcast. Jason's been on it when it was radio podcast. Now it's more primarily just podcasting. It's on any portal. You can go to even my website, drmichellewatson.com, find the link. And really, I'm all about resourcing fathers, because I really believe, especially as ministry leaders, I've spoken at conferences on how to bring fathers in to children's ministry. You got to have more action. You got to have way more action, not just standing over there doing crafts. Ask what they're good at. Bring them in as teachers. You know, if you got a police officer, let him come in as outfit, teaching kids about safety. I mean, use what a dad is already good at. Bring him in. You can do outside activities more. Bring in the skill sets of fathers, but their presence in the room always makes a big impact. So Jason's even going to be posting an article I wrote a few years ago in a Kids Matter magazine on the stronger the foundation, the sturdier the house, or something like that. About
really engaging dads and fathers and kids.
Engaging fathers. So in terms of if you are a ministry leader and maybe have older kids, I've really targeted 13 to 30 when it kind of gets more complicated with dads. I'll just show a couple books that I wrote. One is called Dad, Here's What I Really Need From You, A Guide for Connecting with Your Daughter's Heart. They're, you know, on Amazon or anything. But then the second one that I wrote a couple of years ago is called Let's Talk Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters. 60 conversation starters in 5 sections. Dad, I want you to be a leader so that you don't defer to the ministry leader, the youth pastor, the counselor, the coach, the mentor, but you now get to lead. Because I really believe when a daughter opens her mouth, her heart opens. And when a heart of a daughter is open, the heart of a dad is open. So it comes back to, how do you facilitate conversations? Because we figure things out on our planet of Venus by talking. And so, dad, if you can lead the conversation, lead her to laugh, lead her to love, lead her to look deeper, lead her to lament, get out some of the hard stuff and listen as you flip the script and she asks you about your life. But you can go to the front and your daughter, or anyone that you're working with that has a daughter, the daughter can pick the topics. So a lot of them now on same-sex attraction and gender identity. And actually, it's crazy how much that's blown up in just since COVID. And I wrote the book a year before COVID, and then it came out during COVID. I wish I had generalized from same-sex attraction to more gender identity issues, broader. But you were just asking me ahead of time. I just wrote an article for Focus on the Family a couple months ago on how a dad can lead his daughter on these issues. I've got this on my website free under articles. And then I've got questions a dad can use to lead his daughter to have conversations about that issue. Because again, you can't just tell her what you think. You got to hear first where she's at. So it kind of takes her cup and gives some room up there to hear from you. But really, as you can tell, Jason, I believe we're going to have healthier women in our country.
Men.
A healthier country, I should say, with healthier women. That's a better way to say it. And yeah. So, Dad, as you grow a healthier daughter, I know we're complex. I know we're hard to raise when you can't track with our verbiage and our emotions.
Men are on Mars, right? Isn't that?
Yep, exactly. So at the end of the day, Dad, don't give up on your daughter, no matter where she's at, no matter what she's struggling with. You may just want to ship her, you know, to an aunt or uncle or some farm somewhere during those added 2 years, but she needs you. Help her talk it out. Help her think it out. Be invested intentionally. I'm telling you, it'll change your life.
It's good. And I'm going to have you on again to talk about it, talk to dads in depth, because I think that will be a very good topic. So will you pray for us as we get ready to close out for all?
Oh, I would love to do that.
Walking through. And leaders, let's pray for Michelle, Dr. Michelle too. She's walking through this transition. She was very vulnerable today. And that's one of the things about the Kidman tribe in our community is when we hear people suffering and walking through hard times, we pray for them, we hold them up, and let's do that for her too.
And what are we praying for? Hi, it's right behind you. On the side of the movie, breakthrough.
We're praying
for breakthrough, which doesn't always happen until we have a breakdown.
Amen.
So, you know, so it kind of goes together. And that's what we're talking about today, being willing to let God break things off, break things down. And so this is, I want to say this is a good season.
Amen.
One of my favorite verses before I pray is Psalm 119:68. Through my hard stuff, it came in my 30s and I hold on to it now. It just says, you are good.
Yes.
And what you do is good. Oh my goodness. Okay. I know we have a couple more minutes. Are you limited or can I do a quick, I'm going to do another song for y'all.
Go it's for fun. It.
Kids ministry leaders are always singing, aren't they?
Exactly. I don't know
if it just came to me. But here's how the song goes. I wrote this one day when I was getting ready, but just put it to music so I could remember it, which is, you are good and what you do is good. You are good and what you do is good. Even when I haven't understood, you have kept your promise because you said you would. I believe your promise because you said you would. Amen. So at the end of the day, he's good all the time for real, even though he doesn't always feel good. So I just want to pray blessing, encouragement, and anointing for all of you. I wish right now Jason and I could literally be standing in a room and we could all hold hands.
I know.
And just feel the support, feel the unconditional love, no matter what you've done. Because this morning I was at a chiropractor's office, second time there. The woman behind the counter, I talked with her last week and she said, I haven't stopped thinking about our conversation.
Wow.
About you saying I could go to counseling. And she goes, do you know why I want to do this? I had an affair and I lost my marriage.
Wow.
No, she said it was adultery. She used that word. She didn't cover it with affair. And I'm going, how cool was that? Did she admit that today?
Yeah.
Come on, people. Like, I think we're in a world where we're dying to be that level of honest. And I had to have that in a chiropractor's office, not at church. Let's bring it into church, starting with us.
Amen. Yeah. That's so good.
So I'm going to pray over you, Jason, and over all of you that I feel in my heart. Jason feels you right now in our hearts and spirits. So Abba, Father God, Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, Holy Spirit, I thank you that the three of you are wrapped around all of us. But as I think about that individually, I pray that every single person would know right now that they are completely enveloped in the unconditional love of the Trinity, that they are never less than four, because all of the Trinity indwells them. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be renewed today in a way that would surprise every one of us with who you are, God. You say you're intimately acquainted with all our ways. Would you right now, today, before every one of us goes to sleep, would you give every one of us some kind of an aha surprise moment that says, you do know where I'm at. You do know me intimately. And you're surprising me in a way that could only happen by you knowing me intimately. God, I believe at the end of the day, we all need to dance with you, to know that you're in our living space in a way that enlivens us and strengthens us to live out the call that you have. And God, the truth is we're all weary. We're sick of this pandemic. We're sick of all that's coming out of it. We're sick of the confusion. Yeah, God, we bring you all of that emotion, raw, real, authentic. And we say, God, would you take all of these ashes and give us beauty?
Yes, Lord.
Would you take our sorrow and give us joy? Because that's what you are, the great exchanger. So I ask now, Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, as you reverse the curse that has been over us through this pandemic,
yes, Lord,
we announce our allegiance to you and we renounce any attachment to fear, any attachment to the confusion, and we announce that you are Lord, you are God, you are King, and we worship you alone. So would you today refresh those listening in their spirits so that their spirits can get out front to feed their body and their soul and their mind. So we exalt you, Lord God. We love you. We need you. We trust you no matter what. We exalt you. We declare that today in this place in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. Together we say, amen.
Man, Dr. Michelle, thank you so much. What a great, encouraging, man. I think this will be one that we have to go back and listen to. There's so much meat in it. And I just appreciate your time. Can't wait to have you on again, talking about dads and the dad whisperer and all of that great stuff. Hey, Kidman tribe leaders, people that are serving in kids ministry, let's make this a season of getting healed. I can't wait to see what God is going to do as he transforms and encourage, as we show our brokenness and we walk through that to healing. Thank you so much. Have a great day and go get them for Jesus.
Bye, everyone. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. Wasn't that transformational? I mean, when you hear what Dr. Michelle had to say about self-care and dads, thank you again for being a part of today's Kidman Tribe podcast. I want to share with you another great resource that's going to be coming out from 1230 Kids and Doorpost Songs. Incredible. Hey, can you believe we're already talking about Christmas? I think it's never too early to talk about Christmas. In fact, on my Facebook just the other day, I posted, we have 6 months. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. I know what you're thinking. Like, hey, we barely started summer, but I'm gonna tell you, Christmas will be here right around the corner, especially in the area of kids ministry. It's never too early to be talking about Christmas. 1230 Kids and Doorpost Kids are coming out with a new curriculum for Christmas called Unto Us. Unto Us comes with 5 Christmas lessons about ordinary people who encounter an extraordinary Savior, perfect for the 4 weeks of Advent plus Christmas Eve. Unto Us also includes incredible custom media from 1230 Kids and Doorpost Songs, Christmas songs with lyric videos and hand motions, interactive lessons, awesome activities, ready-made presentation files, and a printable Advent passport your kids will get stamped every week. The digital product is coming August 1st. That's like almost just right around the corner. So August 1st, you can pre-order now and save $20. Go to www.doorpostsongs.com and choose curriculum on the side of the page. It's never too early to start planning for Christmas. And I can't wait to hear how you use this incredible new curriculum that'll be coming out this Christmas. Make sure you go get there early. You'll save $20 if you order it now. Thank you so much.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Hey, thank you so much for being a part of the Kidman Tribe podcast. Thank you for all you do. I hope that you were blessed and encouraged today with Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. Hey, we have incredible guests here on the Kidman Tribe podcast. Our past guests, the ones coming up, I want to encourage you, wherever you get the podcast, wherever you watch it or you listen to it, whether that be YouTube or Apple or Google or Spotify, go on, subscribe to our channel, and then share a comment. We'd like to get up in our ranks. If you love what's happening here, share a comment. Help us to get the word out also with all of your friends who are in Kidman about the Kidman Tribe podcast. They are not going to want to miss it. It could be one of the greatest tools that you help them with this year. Hey, you can find us online, the online home of the Kidman Tribe podcast at kidmantribe.com. You can find all of the back editions of the podcast. You can also find a bi-weekly blog that we write that just helps to resource you. And then there's some great Kidman Tribe swag that you can check out where you can wear it. You can give it to your leaders, give it to your volunteers. Let's represent the Kidman Tribe podcast so well and what we do in Kidman, the world that we live in. Also, if you have questions, thoughts, comments, whatever God's put on your heart, will you share it with us? You can do that by going to our website, kidmantribe.com/mailbag. share your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Let us know what you think about the podcast. I would love to hear from you. Love to talk about upcoming editions, what we need to be talking about, what you'd love to hear about, what you need more training on. Hey, in 2 weeks on the show, I'm going to welcome Squire Rushnell and Luis Duarte. Two people that you may not know who they are, but you're going to love them by the time we get done. They have such a great message for children's leaders. They've been in the entertainment field, creating content for children for so long, and they just want to encourage us to keep things simple. Squire's a popular speaker, and he's also a New York Times bestselling author who introduced the word Godway into language and the dictionaries. And here's the definition. It's a coincidence that's not a coincidence, but an astonishing event from a divine origin. Squire has more than 1.5 million books in print, and his monthly God Winks on the NBC Today show is really one of the most streamed parts of the show in the last 5 seasons. You're not gonna wanna miss. Another thing about Squire is he actually created Schoolhouse Rock and the ABC After School Special. Anybody remember those from our childhood? Squire was the creator of those, and his programs won over 75 Emmys. He's married to a wonderful woman, Luis Duarte, who's known as one of the world's best comedic impressionists. Luis Duarte co-starred with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman for 15 seasons. Clean and funny, Luis will dazzle audiences with fast-paced conversations between Bart Simpson, Judge Judy, Barbara Streisand, Barbara Walters, and dozens more. Her husband, Squire Rushnell, Riley observes, I never know who I'm going to be waking up to next. For 8 seasons, Luis also hosted a popular daily talk show on the ABC Family Channel, Living the Life. She toured and was in various Broadway productions. This couple together, they are incredible. They have such a heart for the church. They have such a heart for raising up the next generation. And I promise you, you are not going to want to miss what God wants to speak to you. That's 2 weeks from today. In the meantime, go and reach kids in your world with experiences that transform their lives. Thank you again for joining us on the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I want to encourage you, take some rest this summer, get some Sabbath. You let God just refresh your spirit. Make sure you're spending time with Him. Sometimes our schedule gets so busy, we forget to spend that time. And when we're unplugged with God and we become empty, we don't have anything to pour back. So I want to encourage you, spend that time, get some rest. Rest up. I know summer's busy. You're at camps. You're doing all kinds of things. And I want to just encourage you, make sure you take your time with Jesus, because that's what you're going to give. The best gift you can give to your leaders in your children's ministry is the overpour of what God has done in your life. I'm your biggest fan. You're appreciated. What you do is changing lives for eternity. Go get them, tribe. I'll catch you in 2 weeks here on the Kidman Tribe Podcast.
The Kidman Tribe Podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.